Hello, and welcome back to another episode of International Immersion, a podcast that seeks to capture the combined experiences of people, places, culture, traveling, current events, living abroad, and much, much more. For today's episode, I want to delve into a topic that, in one way, shape, or form, is affecting everyone on this planet, and in a myriad of different ways. And that topic of topics is inflation, the dreaded I word that everyone is talking about right now. So why is it important to cover inflation? I think in many cases it's pretty self-explanatory, but at the same time, it is affecting everyone at every level, either directly, indirectly, or heavily to lightly, to put it bluntly. So in a way, what is inflation? So inflation is when the value of money is decreased because of an abundance of money. So supply and demand. The more money in circulation, the less value it has because you're having more currency or monetary instrument buying the same amount or a reduced amount of products. Hence, the cost goes up because there is more currency to be had and to use. And historically, there are classic examples of inflation and even worse, hyperinflation, where the value of money decreases so quickly that it's almost impossible to keep the value or prices being reset daily, monthly, or wherever it may be, whether it was Zimbabwe or Venezuela, the Weimar Republic in Germany in the 1930s. And there are a number of countries, with Venezuela being the most recent, along with Zimbabwe. So inflation has such a huge effect on people, and I don't think anyone would deny that. But specifically, it's important to think about why inflation cycles happen, and then, of course, what's the difference between inflation and deflation. Inflation is when the value of things increases because of a surplus of currency and a whole host of correlating factors, and deflation is when the price of goods decrease, which in many ways economists think is worse because a small amount of inflation, at least according to the U.S. Federal Reserve, is a good thing because before the COVID-19 pandemic, the war in Ukraine, and other factors contributing to that, the U.S. Federal Reserve tried to keep the rate of inflation at around 2% a year because that stimulated growth, but at the same time did not cause too much pain to the public in terms of the purchasing power of their money. But at least that's the case with the United States. So going into the current situation now, and especially the last year, 2022, being quite difficult for so many people, including myself, why has inflation reached the level it has now, and what are the factors that have all culminated in it? So to break it down, pretty much these factors. First and foremost, the COVID-19 pandemic. When the COVID started in the end of 19 and blew up in early 20 and persists to this day, that has been the big, I'd say, one of the early trigger points. While it itself did not specifically bring about inflation, it created a huge amount of disruption to supply chains, to production of goods, transportation of goods. All of that was affected by COVID-19 on both a human level, material level, and political level, as we can see with different countries and their approaches to how the virus is managed, from the zero COVID policy in China to the more live-with-it approaches in other countries like the United States. So COVID was one factor. The next factor was pandemic relief, and particularly in the United States, we all got stimulus checks, and by doing so, the Fed printed a huge amount of money. I think over $3 trillion, if I'm not mistaken, was printed in 20 and 21 to stimulate the economy, pump more and more capital out to stimulate growth, spending, and other things to keep the economy from stagnating due to the loss of the workforce and other factors. So that, in many cases, had a delayed effect. At the time, it stimulated things. It brought things, kind of kept the gears moving. But over the mid and long term, it's eroded the value of the U.S. dollar and created a steady path to increased inflation. At this point, we're not sure how long it's going to last, but it's going to last for some time, at least in the short term. Another factor, worker shortages and wage increases. So because of that, people were not working, companies were desperate to get employees, so they had to raise wages, which of course is passed on to the consumer in terms of prices. So that's another factor. You have a workers' market, more competition for companies to attract workers, and a reduced workforce equals reduced productivity. Because I can't tell you, just in the town I live, the time to get things has increased. The time when you go to a fast food restaurant has increased. The quality has gone down, all because of this key factor here. And then mirroring back to the pandemic and what it did, you have supply chain issues. Supply chain has been a huge problem for the last several years, and it's only been exacerbated by political tensions, COVID, increasing currency, and other factors. Another thing, raw material shortages. Because of these previous factors, acquisition and implementation of raw materials into manufactured and complex goods has also decreased and become more strained. Hence, that's created a higher demand for goods, hence more demand. The prices go up because there's more demand for products. And then lastly, which has happened this current year, you have the war in Ukraine, which has been kind of the coup de grace, or I would say straw that broke the camel's back, you could say, in terms of adding more problems to this already problematic situation. It's created grain shortages, it's created supply chain issues, and it's also created a huge amount of fear and uncertainty in the world because no one knows what's going to happen. It's, you know, destroying the economies of both Russia and Ukraine, and it's creating a huge amount of material and human loss, which is just horrible to see. And it's also been the first war in Europe since World War II on this scale. So it's created a huge amount of uncertainty in terms of what's going to happen in the future and exacerbated political and geopolitical tensions across the planet. So for my research, these are the main factors behind inflation at present and are contributing and increasing the pain, here, one could say, on the average consumer across the world. So that's kind of more of a macro perspective looking out. But more on a micro perspective, how does that affect a person on the ground? Well, it can affect in a huge number of ways. So first and foremost, you have food, groceries, things you need for survival. So in my own case, the price of meat, beef, chicken, pork have increased 50-100%. Fruit prices have increased 100, 200, and in some cases 300%. An example is I buy frozen fruit for smoothies every week. Originally, they used to be $1.50 or $1.98. Now they're $2.98, $3.98. So they've increased exponentially. Dairy prices. Milk in my part of the United States, in the St. Louis area, used to be just under $2. Now it's closer to $3. And for a while, it actually pushed $3, and now the prices actually come back down in a positive light, which is good. And then other cooking supplies, you know, anything you need for your kitchen, all of those products have increased either a little or a lot. And while, you know, that doesn't seem like a lot of money, but when you factor in how much your grocery bills add up to be, it really starts to make a difference, especially for budgeting purposes. You know, before the pandemic, you know, a typical trip to the grocery store would be between $30 and $80 for quite a bit of stuff. Now it's almost doubled. I can't go to the store without dropping at least $60 to $80 just for the basics. And if I really go out and shop for everything that I need for a couple of weeks, it's going to be between $100 and $200. And that's from shopping at either Walmart, Aldi's, or some other stores in the U.S. where I shop at. But it's painful to say the least, because I've had to reallocate my budget to accommodate for the change in price of goods and to make sure that I don't, you know, overextend, you know, my salary. You know, another thing, personal care, cosmetics, you know, that people use, body products, body wash, shampoo, soap, those have all increased as well, you know, which is annoying because we all need those products, and granted, not as frequently as food, but it also exacerbates the situation with budgeting and the, you know, purchasing power of your money. You know, things have doubled or even tripled or quadrupled in some cases just from some of the personal products that I use on a day-to-day basis. And then, of course, households. We all know the crazy stories about people hoarding toilet paper and other things when the pandemic first broke. And luckily, a lot of that has subsided, but those products have also increased as well. And it's made me really try to do more research, find cheaper products, and at the same time, maybe sacrifice some quality in return for, you know, to be more financially conservative and to make use of what is best for budgeting purposes. Now, I'm not saying that I can't afford all of these things, or it makes a dire situation. It doesn't do that. It just makes things more difficult and stretches what already you're trying to budget for on a month-to-month basis for your own survival and to maintain your quality of life. And that's another thing, is so many people's quality of life has been affected by this. I know a lot of people who've had to downsize, they've had to reduce, they've had to cut things out of what they buy just because of the cost and to make ends meet. And that leads to another thing. We're a consumer culture. Many countries are a consumer culture. So we love eating out, having fast food, you know, getting specialty foods, all of those things. Yeah, we can still do that, but we've also seen the prices increase at restaurants, you know, and fast food prices, especially in the U.S., have increased. So the amount of money that I'm spending on that has gone up, but at the same time, I've tried to cut back on those types of purchases just to save money and to avoid any wasteful spending. And that's difficult for some people to adapt, you know, especially depending on what they like to cook or what cooking abilities they have. But those are other factors. You know, if you get together with friends, you have to take that into consideration, or at least I take that into consideration and think about, okay, how can I stretch my money further and spend less, but at the same time go out, meet friends, enjoy a nice dinner or, you know, some drinks or whatever it may be. So it really makes you more strategic, or at least it's made me much more strategic in trying to figure out how to plan and execute obtaining the things I need, enjoying life, maintaining a good quality of life, all while maintaining the budget and not going into a deficit financially. So those are all factors there. And then, of course, transportation. If you live in the U.S. like I do, you need a car, especially if you live outside of a big city. So gas prices, while not specifically tied to inflation, they've fluctuated in the past, and in many cases they've gone down. But another huge factor is specifically the Russia-Ukraine war has really caused this to become a big problem for people. You know, gas prices have increased heavily. They're back into the threes, at least in Illinois where I live, or Metro St. Louis area. And they used to be in the high threes, but they're fluctuating now. But still, it increases the amount of money you're spending on gas per month, especially for people who travel, you know, 10, 20, or even 30 miles a day for work. Luckily, I live very close to where I work, so I don't have to worry about this as much. But so many people have to worry about this. And, you know, conservatively, I'm spending between $50 and $100 a month for gas, which is not bad. But I know people who are spending, you know, $200, $300 a month for gas. And that's an expense they can't cut because they have to be able to have a mode of transportation, get to and from work, obtain the things they need, go to the store, take their kids where they need to go, whatever it may be. But that's a heavy expense, in many cases a burden on a lot of people, because public transportation, and especially in outside of large cities, is quite lacking in the U.S., I would say, from my own experiences. So there's really no other alternative. And for lack of a better way of saying it, people just have to eat that cost and try to make use of what's available, and or in many cases, you know, change cars, get a more fuel efficient car. But that's difficult for some people because they may not have the capital, the cash lying around to do that. But I digress. Another thing, you've seen a big impact on travel, the increased cost of goods, food, travel packages, etc. They've all led to a decrease in traveling. They've all made people more financially prudent, or at least a lot of people. And people are not traveling as much because it's just not worth it. They may travel locally, they may travel here and there, but the amount of people traveling on a large scale or multiple times a month or a year has decreased, or at least in my circles has decreased, because it's just not financially feasible for a lot of people anymore. Now, in the future, I'm sure things will reset, but the current situation we're living in now is causing a big decrease in the wants and the wanting of doing things, just because it's more difficult to do it. Now, some people, like I said previously, it doesn't affect them as much. They still do it. People are still traveling. People are still doing what they've always done. But generally speaking, it has been reduced by inflation and the effects of inflation. And lastly, how does that affect your behavior beyond what you buy or thinking about what you buy or just the prices of goods and what you observe, how they change and how they may fluctuate? How does it affect your thinking, your mental attitude, and in many cases your mental health, which is very important as well? I know for myself, the first point I want to highlight, it's made me think about money a lot more. While I'm not thinking about it every minute, every second, every day, I'm thinking about it more regularly than I used to, and how to make my money work, how to save more money, how to find ways to take advantage of the current environment, but at the same time, most importantly, preserve what I have and still live the quality of life and acquire the things I need without overexpending or having a budget malfunction, you could say. So more and more thought on money, and that could also increase stress. To an extent, I would say I've been largely spared a lot of stress because of the habits and the strategies I put together myself, but for a lot of people, this is a huge cause of stress and anxiety. You know, second thing, change of habits. Before the pandemic, before inflation really skyrocketed, I used to go out more. I used to drive more. I used to meet up with friends more. All that has decreased now because of the need to be more fiscally conservative. You've seen a lot of people's habits change, you know, directly or indirectly. You know, next point, reducing costs and services. There are some things you can't sacrifice. There are some things you can't go without, but people are taking longer or putting off repairs, putting off getting a new car, putting off a number of things just because they don't want to spend that cash. They want to keep it in case they need it for something more pressing. So that's another thing. And then next point, less travel and driving. As I've said, due to these factors, it's just not as practical to travel as much or drive as much. And I would say one thing that's unique for me and myself, and I kind of laugh at, is that especially me and my girlfriend, we have done a lot more cooking now because it's still cheaper to, I think it's always been cheaper, but it's kind of forced us to do a lot more cooking at home to save money and at the same time put the money we spend on groceries to use and cut out additional spending. Now, of course, we still go out and get food. We get coffee, tea, whatever it may be. But it certainly has decreased over time, and especially in this last year, or this current year, 2022. And then lastly, saving more. I do and work a lot harder to save whatever money I have at the end of the month out of my paycheck because I want to build a cash reserve. I want to make sure I have enough cash to cover any costs, expenses, and also to keep investing and to fund things that will pay dividends in the future. Pardon the pun. These are just some of the factors that are affecting my behavior and my method of thinking. And I think everyone has their own ways of doing it and their own ways of thinking about it. But I think if you ask anyone, it's definitely changed their thinking, at least in some aspect. Or at least that's my personal observation. In a nutshell, inflation is something that happens in cycles, but we're not seeing the level of inflation at the present since the 1970s when record inflation happened, a lot of problems. So basically we're in a way kind of having a version of the 1970s now. The factors are different. The correlating elements are rather different, but the end result is you're having a large increase in inflation. It's eroding people's savings. It's eroding people's cost, value of their money, and people are having to adapt to survive and adapt to figure out how to make ends meet and figure out how to proceed. I think in the future, inflation will eventually calm down. It's just a matter of when. Given the number of constraints happening in the world, I don't see inflation going away anytime soon. And I also don't see a lot of the market volatility and supply chain volatility going away anytime soon, especially with the war in Ukraine and rising political tensions, especially between East and the West. Pardon the pun again. Inflation is here to stay for at least the short term and probably into the midterm, but we're going to feel the repercussions of this for decades to come because we've nearly doubled the amount of currency in circulation with the stimulus stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic, at least in the United States. And that's going to have long-term consequences, short-term, benefit, but for long-term pain, as they say. I just wanted to share some thoughts today about inflation, how it's affecting me, what are my thoughts about it, and in a nutshell, what is it and how it's affecting people. So I'm curious to hear how other people are affected by inflation, their personal stories, what they do, what are they strategizing, what are they thinking of to try to, cope with it and deal with it, or make it into something that they can overcome mentally and financially. So with that, this has been another episode of International Immersion. We're happy you tuned in, listened. Feel free to leave us some feedback, comments, check out our Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn page of the same name, International Immersion, or shoot us an email at internationalimmersionpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to know what you have to say. We're eager to cover more topics like inflation and many other things that are affecting us in this day and age. So with that, thank you for tuning in once again. Stay safe, and we will see you on the next one.